too.
Here Love we go, Talk ladies. Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me, this is your Omi Inca 7 bringing you into the airways, and we are live on Oracle Divination Network as well as on the YouTube channel. So if you're out there and you would like to talk with Omi, you can call in. Our phone lines are open at 760-539-3247. Please do call in. We have a hot topic for you this evening, ladies and gentlemen. And our topic this evening is about co-parenting and starting your own parent information center. I think I've talked on this subject before, but it is definitely necessary to bring it back again, because I don't know how many of you realize how close you are to running your parent center from your home. Those of you who have differentiated learners, or in special ed, now is the time to do something for your children. Excuse me. You are the first parent, and I want to make sure you understand that being the first parent means that you have the right to advocate for your child. For those of you parents that are out there whose children have been taken away from them, and you're waiting for reunification of your children to come back home, but through a court order, you're mandated to go and take some co-parenting classes as well as early childhood classes. I want to say to those parents that are out there who have been missing their children, now is the time to plan to do something for your children that's worthwhile. Set up a parent information center in your home. I can help you. Yes, I can help you. I've helped many women who come through my training. They came through an actual training that the Windmill Grant provided monies to train teachers and parents. I've trained several teachers and parents who've come from across the state to come to my training. And one of the things we train them thoroughly on is the special education law, say 94.142, say Article 11. Say 504, say IDEA law, 457, early intervention prevention. Now, these are the laws that you're going to be working with if you're advocating for your children. These laws are very necessary to learn. You don't necessarily have to memorize them, just have access of them and know exactly where to go when you have to use them. Hold tight, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to go to commercial. Just wanted to get your attention on that one. Omi loves doing that to you. Once again, I like to say that this is all about you branding yourself, having your own unique parent resource center. It used to be a time when they only had one per state, and they saw the need for individual diversity, for blacks to have their own center, for Asians to have their own center, for Chinese to have their own center. So there's no reason for someone to say, hey, you're discriminating, why aren't you servicing Caucasians, and why are you just servicing African-American? You can brand your center whichever way you want. And me being a resource and referral center, I will help you and assist you to go through the 17 steps that you have to go through in order to set up your parent information center. Now, it's very, very interesting that you might want to go and spend a day at a parent information center to look at how they run their day-to-day business, and also to go and talk to some of the other resource centers, the big ones, the ones that cover the state. Then they break them down into family resource centers where you can govern individual communities. And the one I'm talking about is governing the individual communities. There is an RFVP, of course, for the ones for the state. They give out 10 RFVP grants of over $100,000 to those larger facilities. Now, I know that there's funding available. You can also apply for it. You can set up a board and committee to help you write the grants. But it's very vital that you should understand one thing that I'm here to speak on, and it's been a lifelong endeavor that I have had to help rescue our African-American children out of special ed. And there's no two ways about it. I have always been on a mission, to take African-American boys out of the pipeline. That's right. You've heard me speak on the pipeline and how African-American boys who are targeted for special ed, if they're not reading by third grade, the state uses that statistics to make a decision on how many beds that they need in the prison, because those young boys who do not learn to read by third grade, they're destined to be in the pipeline to go to prison. And we want to circumvent that prison opportunity for these black boys to be able to have their first male teacher by fourth grade. And one of the decisions I have proposed in my outline curriculum, I'm writing a book. A lot of you know that the book has been written, and we're formatting it, and we spent quite a long time talking about what the needs were. I patterned my book after the conspiracy to destroy the black boys, and I want to know who are those conspirators. So I went out to research the conspirators, and lo and behold, I found out that the women had a great connection into this conspiracy without even knowing it. So in my book, you discover who are these conspirators and conspirators, and how did they get involved with plotting and scheming to send our black boys to special ed. Did they know, or was it unbeknown to them? I hope that you'll find out when you read a couple of my chapters on the books. Now, we also had to come up with a way that parents could get involved, and that is through doing parent resource centers. You just don't drop your child off in special education and say, here, you provide his needs, give him what he needs, and walk away. You are the first teacher parent, and you are the first advocate, and you must get involved with your child, because this is a deficit of yours. And if the child has a learning disability, we've got to learn how to fix it. Now, if that child is not just, If that child is not just suffering from differentiated learning, he might be placed and mismatch in special ed due to inability to read. It could be a language problem that could be fixed, and that's what I want you parents to get involved in. I want you to know how to get it fixed. Let's take a station identification. Hold tight. Discussion. We're talking about those parents who have differentiated learners, special needs children, and who would like to be an advocate for their children. And we're telling you today that you can be that first teacher. You can set up your own parent information center from your home. You can get all the materials you need that are available to you through various different programs that will alleviate all of the work and give you in-the-box procedure on how to set up your parent information center. If you have children that are in special education, you definitely should be a part of being a surrogate advocate or being an individual advocate for your own child or someone else's. But it's very vital that you should get an understanding that our boys are on their way to a pipeline, and we can prevent that through getting that child re-diagnosed and reassess in the right areas of language deficiency. And a lot of children are placed in special ed for learning disability, BD, and LD, when they really have a learning deficit in language. And that can be corrected, and we can make sure that the proper language specialist can help those districts and reassess those children. But we certainly don't want to put them in there just because we are dumping special ed children in classroom settings like special ed who can't read. You can remediate reading, and it is not necessarily a learning deficit. And parents, you have to be aware that now if you get a divorce and you have children, the courts are now ordering most of the 44 states to go for co-parenting training, and they learn how to parent alone and separately. And you must have age-appropriate activities for the children, men. You are also required to go to co-parenting classes as well as the wife. And the judge is not playing. He's sitting out orders and mandating. I worked with one of the judges, Judge Kerman. She mandated that various different people here in Indiana get their training. She even signed off on the training and to show how interested she was in making sure that families get the proper training they need in order to co-parent their child. And if you're out there, you can call in. Our number is 760-539-3247. You can call in now. Our phone lines are open if you'd like to voice your opinion. We're taking phone calls. And for you out there that are in YouTube land, you don't necessarily have to write anything. We're not asking you to chat with us through writing, but you can phone call in and you can talk to the host right here as I am online now. You can talk to me about this co-parenting deal. What's it all about? Our number and phone line is 760-539-3247. And if you're out there listening and you're one of my followers, don't just be a follower. Call in and throw your hat in the ring and give some opinion and ask some questions. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is your Omri speaking. This evening we are broadcasting live by way of Blog Talk, Oracle Divination Network, as well as on Omi's Production Studio on YouTube Live. We are live streaming, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the chat. Now, if you're out there and you want to chat a little bit, go ahead and start chatting. But I have only two hands here, and I can't very well chat with you while I'm operating both of these technologies here. And once again, we are slowing it down a little bit to tell you that you are the first parents, and we want to encourage you, and we want to also let you know that we're behind you. We don't want students misplaced in school. We want them to be in the least restrictive environment, and we want them to get the help they need. Stay tuned. We'll be right back at you. Following the leader, I am your advocate, the one who wants to serve you. I am your friend, the one who wants to be your support system. And I thank you so much for joining me here on both channels. You've been so gracious to follow me, even on Spreaker. We were on earlier to Spreaker today, and we're talking about primarily the same thing, getting you parents up and out the door to go and put your application in to answer these RFPs. Those grants will be coming out, RFPs, and we want more African Americans to start applying for those RFPs to get those grant funding so they can apply for those 10 grants that they are going to be issuing RFPs for. Now, you might not be just ready to become a full-blown resource center, but you can be a family advocate in your home, and you can start the process of getting your home ready to offer resource and material. You can act as a liaison person for delivering all the necessary materials that families need to get informed. There's a lot of parents leaving the hospital uninformed. They leave the hospitals with special needs children, and they don't know what to do. Go out and do your due diligence. Go out and make sure in your community you do an assessment of those families who've moved into the community who have special needs children. And then you offer them services free of charge. The government's going to give you assistance once you apply. As you apply for the materials, these are free materials that they will give you to disseminate amongst your community. But you've got to be able to do your due diligence to see just how many people in your community have special needs children that need to be served. Now, let me say a little bit about special education, because I went to school for a while to take some special education classes. And in my opinion, I really think that it would be better if you had social work background to work with these children, because let me bring you to the topic that I'm going to be talking about today. And I really don't want anyone to get discombobulated, but this is African American business, and I do hope we are entertaining African Americans here in this room, and they won't be offended by what I'm going to say. Post-traumatic stress is really real, and post-traumatic stress can come from the slave trade, and it could be a DNA problem that is actually in our bloodstream that we are experiencing, and just like when the soldiers come home, they know that a lot of these soldiers are going to be experiencing post-traumatic stress because they've given them all kinds of viral injections and they've had all kinds of experimented and all kinds of medication that has side effects. So they know that they're going to be busy taking care of their illness. When they get out of the Army, they won't be able to work because there are no jobs for them. So we see a lot of post-traumatic stress amongst the soldiers, the actual people coming home who are now ready to become civilian. But we ignore the post-traumatic stress that comes from African-American on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes before we even get to work, we've had so many post-traumatic stress symptoms through miscommunication of how someone treats a black person and assuming that they don't feel pain like other African-American, like other non-African-American. Or you see them have to go through the ringer in trying to get documentation to prove they're who they say they are so they can accomplish getting property. It's so many things that stress us out. And a lot of this comes from post-traumatic stress syndrome from slavery. And I want you to kind of think about what women have gone through. As I began to survey the internet and I read and hear these stories, I found that there's so many stresses that a mother can get from her womb, just carrying a baby and having this child in her womb can allow her to be stricken with discrimination from the womb. And not to mention the fights that we go through and cutting through the bureaucracy throughout the day. These are all post-traumatic stress symptoms that come from the caustic records of our ancestors that we carry with us. And yet no one seems to think that we're damaged by slavery. And when a woman goes into the doctor's office and tells the doctor, I have pain, I'm hurting, the doctor can't believe that a black woman carries pain just like anyone else. Here's my example. Dr. Simmons, who was well known as the outstanding doctors of his time for vaginal experiment, he had actually did experiments on black women without anesthesia, without any type of pain medicine. He cut into women because he felt they had a low pain syndrome and that it wouldn't hurt them. So we as African Americans have been struggling through so much of post-traumatic stress, not only the women, the men too, but nobody has saw fit to allow a social worker to assess our problem and say, yes, these are the superficial wounds that they carry from their ancestors and they're still suffering from it in the 20th century. And we don't want to look at saying, yes, they're in deserving of reparation. They're still suffering, and they still have flaws that are affecting them. No one wants to even admit to the fact. But guess what? In 2007, and I think it was 2008 or 2009, the government apologized for the suffering and slavery. They out and out apologized, but they kind of covered it up so you didn't really know it was an apology made in open public. But nevertheless, they had agreed that it was a problem and that slavery did do damage, and it's still doing damage. It's even doing damage to our children who have come down the shafts of our wounds. So we know that special ed is nowhere for our children to be going, because it's not solving any problem. It's a vicious circle year after year. I saw it. I worked with it, and I refuse to continue to work with it unless and I talked about it. That's why I wrote a book to gather all the facts about the wrong things that our black children have gone through in the school system and the suffering that they still go through. Somebody had to be an advocate to speak out on their behalf. Somebody had to stand up to be a Moses for them. And yet Africans are still struggling and suffering. Mothers, if you don't have a profession, become a family life educator and educate people on the socialization of a black family. Educate people on the differences that we have. We're not like any other ordinary family. Understand this, that African Americans have sojourned their way through so much and kept their mouths closed. And now the tattletale signs are coming out through the outburst, through their DNA. It is showing itself that our African mothers and fathers who were slaves suffered much, because it is showing up in the children of those descendants of slaves. And we are still suffering, but yet everyone said, keep your head up and suppress the pain. But we have a situation where our children are hurting too. And the mothers don't know how to hear their cry. They don't know how to come to their rescue. And they're saying that this school is hurting me. I don't want to be here, mother. Rescue me. And we don't know how to rescue ourselves, less than on our children. And it's so sad, because now we have to write books about what has transpired in our lives that is still causing us to suffer. And we're suffering unneedlessly, and everyone, it's going to get worse before it gets better, because temperatures are going to be rising, and people are going to reach the boiling point where they are going to be exemplifying this pain through verbal speech. And you're going to hear more so than ever before African Americans telling you the story of the struggle that they've had. There are many of us keeping quiet and suppressing our pain, and we don't want to blurt out for fear that someone is saying that African is being too emotional. Well, we have good cause to be emotional. We have good cause to speak out against what has troubled us for so long. We have good cause to stand up now and say, enough is enough. We've got to talk and speak out against this injustice. We have sojourned through slavery and now through Jim Crow and post-slavery, and yet we are still suffering the ills of the slave master's children. And we want someone to hear our roar. We are women, and you will hear our roar when it comes to our children. We are going to roar on their behalf, because we know that much more that can be done for these special ed children. Much more can be done for their suffering, and you must not hide them away in special ed, all in lure of not wanting to train them, not wanting to teach them. So I am saying that things can be better, and we're going to make sure that the parents get out front and be the advocates that they can be, and they're going to make a difference in this world. Thank you so very much for listening to the sound of my voice. For joining me, and I want you to look straight ahead and into the future. Things are about to change around here. Things are about to change, and ooh, child, things are going to get better now, and they certainly will be getting easier. So look ahead, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Look ahead, Gary, Indiana. Look ahead, Detroit, Michigan. Look ahead, Indianapolis, Indiana. Look ahead, Avon, Indiana. And look ahead, things are going to get better. Ooh, child. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Someday we'll get it together and we'll get it all done. Someday things will get brighter. Ooh, child, thank you so much. And we're tuning out. And stay tuned for our next segment. Oh, double.